IT Albuquerque. This is M88.
Mortal Kombat on Sega Genesis, the best video game ever.
I disagree. It's a very good game, but I think Donkey Kong is the best game ever.
Donkey Kong sucks.
You know something? You suck.
Hello.
And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88, the show where we want to challenge, encourage you, and most of all, get you to think, challenge you to think about things in a unique way, maybe a way that you've never thought about before, but definitely just to get you to think about things for yourselves. Now, I know during the open there are some people who would take offense to us even using the word suck here on a Christian station like M88, but you know, that's really the question we're addressing. Do video games make people do bad things is pretty much what we're talking about to a certain extent tonight. And just as a disclaimer, first of all, the opinions expressed here tonight do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the station, M88 itself. And also, you know what? The topic of video games can get into the graphic territory so far as violence and sex goes. So if you have younger listeners, I can't guarantee that we won't get into some graphic material as we talk about this issue tonight. So you might want to keep that in mind if there's younger listeners. Joining us tonight is Richard Abanis. He wrote a book called What Every Parent Needs to Know About Video Games. He's going to join us tonight, talk about this issue. He wrote a very balanced view on this whole subject, so I asked him to join us tonight. And Richard, thank you so much for joining us here on Raw Talk.
Hey, it's my pleasure to be on your show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we talked about this once before on the Frequency podcast, and it was such a good discussion, I thought maybe some people would like to jump into the discussion. And so,
yeah, I think that's needed. I think it'll be fun, too.
Yeah, I think so. And so if anyone has a question about video games that you'd like to ask, especially so far as Christians and video games, video game violence, should we hold video games responsible for the violent behavior of teenagers, anything along these topics, give us a call, 505-333. 5790. We want to hear what you think about the whole video game phenomenon that's going on right now. If you read the Albuquerque Journal on Monday, there's actually another case where Grand Theft Auto was being blamed for the violent behavior of a teenager. There was a teenager who killed three people in 2004, and relatives of that teenager are now filing a wrongful death suit against the makers of Grand Theft Auto, Rockstar, Take-Two, and Sony. Now, the lawsuit calls Grand Theft Auto a virtual reality murder simulator. And they want these types of games taken off the market. The attorney Jack Thompson, who is notorious in the video game world, a crusader against video games of all sorts, has gotten into the mix on this. And he wants to punish makers of such video games and prevent such games from being made. Now, I thought it was interesting. In the story, the criminal defense attorney for this case was asked repeatedly by Thompson to highlight Grand Theft Auto in the defense. But the attorney saw no merit in doing so. So once again, Grand Theft Auto grabbing some headlines and, you know, brings up the question, can we hold video games responsible for the violent behavior of video games? Now, this is something that you address in your book, What Every Parent Needs to Know About Video Games, Richard. And why don't you talk a little bit about how you handle this topic? And before you start, again, if you have questions along these lines, 505-338-5790. So, Richard, why don't you just explain, summarize for everyone how you took on this rather volatile topic in your book?
Well, you know, video games I view as simply another form of entertainment, like movies, like music, like sports, you know, like going out to dinner. And any of those things, if done to excess, is going to be bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
We can't put video games in some kind of, you know, different category. It's just a form of entertainment. But what's happening is, because it's new, you've got a lot of people like Jack Thompson who don't really know that much about video games at all, probably have never even played a video game, and they're kind of using it to, you know, bring up all this sensationalistic stuff, and I'm wondering if maybe for their own agenda to kind of get themselves in the limelight a little bit and cause it to really, you know, get a stir going up and get people all upset about video games, when the statistics and the studies and the information that's come out on video games doesn't have any backing for what some of these people are saying. So I think we need to know that there's good to video games, there's bad to video games. You know, there's both two sides to everything, and that's what I try to show.
And you do a really good job of that in your book. And again, if anyone has questions, especially, you know, with the more immediate topic, can we hold video games responsible for the violent behavior of teenagers or anyone who plays video games? And I think some people would be surprised, Richard, that teenagers are not the primary demographic of video games anymore.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It used to be that they were, but what's happening is those teenagers are now growing up. And so you've got a lot of people who are playing all the way up into their mid to late 20s, 30s, and even now 40s. And they are, you know, becoming part of this new generation of people who play video games on a constant basis. But what's happening is that people who are older than that, who have never really played video games before, whether they're just parents or newspaper people, even journalists, politicians especially, they don't understand the greatness to video games and how important and how much of a social and influential part of people's lives that they've become.
And, you know, that really flies in the face of every stereotype that non-gamers have about video games. They don't see them as a social thing. They don't see them as having any benefit whatsoever. They don't see any positive side to video games at all. For people who grew up without video games or never got into video games, how do you bridge that gap between people who have never touched a video game and have all these stereotypes without investigating it for itself? Part of the reason we're talking about this tonight, so that people can start thinking about this perhaps a little bit differently. And again, if you have questions, 505-338-5790. How do we bridge that gap from the gaming world that you and I are in to people who have no clue what video games are about and just have this misconception that video games are the most evil thing on the face of the planet?
Well, you know, that's why I wrote the book, so I could kind of give people information to make good decisions about their lives. That's kind of what I'm about. I like to talk about issues, social issues, pop culture and stuff, and tell people, look, here's the truth about these things, and now make a good decision based on that. So I try to explain what video games are and, you know, the different kinds of video games, how you can see the how ones are better for older kids, how ones are better for younger kids. And I go through some of the studies and case histories and problems associated with video games and some of the stories that have come out about things like Grand Theft Auto and Doom and all of these things.
Yeah, and Grand Theft Auto just seems to be like the prime target so far as criticism goes for video games. You know, going back to this case that came out today, or not today, but this past week. And, you know, the question that always gets me is, you know, if parents are so concerned about video games turning their kids into rampaging, murderous monsters, why do they let them play them in the first place? Or why do they buy them these games? And I don't know if, in this case, the parents bought the kid the video game. I don't even know if he was playing it at home. But the issue is, why weren't the parents making sure that he wasn't playing a virtual reality murder simulator?
Yeah, see, that's the funny thing. You know, some of these games that they're talking about, these are rated M for mature, which means that kids shouldn't be playing them who are not 17 and older. And so you have to ask yourself, how did that kid get that game? And what I have found in my research is that a lot of parents don't care. They don't even know what their kids are playing, and they've got these mature games they're playing, and then when something bad happens, instead of thinking about how maybe they weren't even involved enough with their child to know what games they were playing, or that they were allowing their child to play a game that they shouldn't have been playing, they want to blame the game itself. And that's just, you know, that's more like scapegoating than anything else.
Yes.
And it's being used to, you know, make video games sound terrible.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the whole rating system, especially for people who might be listening who aren't familiar with the fact that games are rated. But first, we have Greg on the line. Greg, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Not a whole lot. I was actually listening to your guest speaker, and there's some things that I agree with and some things that, you know, I disagree with. And he just recently spoke about the, you know, the appropriate games for appropriate people. There are some games out there like the Grand Theft Auto that it doesn't matter who plays them, they're, you know, they're very, very bad games. The thing is I have a girlfriend who works in the rental business, and she was telling me when we were listening to you guys all the time that they have parents come in and, you know, rent or buy Grand Theft Auto for their 11-year-old kid.
Right.
And there's a rating system in place, you know, that says, you know, I think it's I think that games actually have to be 17 or older.
Exactly.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm no longer 17, but I remember way back in the day when I played video games. I think when I was 17, I wasn't as affected by the games as I think a 10 or an 11-year-old would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why, you know, there's a rating system in place. I mean, obviously, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, the rating system is actually pretty good. Maybe there's only a game or two here or there that maybe it could use a different rating system. But by and large, they're pretty accurate. And what's happening is, you know, parents, they're the ones to blame. They're like you said, they're going in and buying these games. And I've spoken to retail clerks who said, you know, well, we tell parents, you know, maybe this wouldn't be good for your kid because it's got this and that and this and that. And they go, oh, well, they just see that all the time anyway. So they buy the game for them. And then, you know, maybe something goes wrong or their kid does something bad, and all of a sudden it's the game that they want to blame that they bought for their kid to begin with.
Right.
So you've got something really strange going on here where parents, not all parents, but apparently some parents aren't really taking responsibility for their kids, what their kids are doing, and then when something bad goes on, they want to blame someone else. And I think people like Jack Thompson are really capitalizing on that. I mean, I talk about him a little bit in my book, and you know, one thing we have to remember is that people, kids, teenagers, young adults who have some kind of psychological problems or tendencies toward violence are going to pick up on all kinds of things that's going to push them over the edge, whether it's reading a book about Charles Manson, whether it's listening to Helter Skelter by the Beatles, whether it's watching Taxi Driver, the movie about a deranged psychopathic killer. I mean, these people latch on to that, and it you know, including Grand Theft Auto, maybe it'll feed something, but this is not the average person.
Right. And we even saw that recently in the JonBenet case where that guy came forward and said, yeah, I'm the one who did it, and he had nothing to do with it.
Perfect.
But he was drawn to it because, you know, he was kind of off in his own little world anyway, and this was his chance to, you know, who knows what he was thinking. But
right. And, you know, people want an easy something to blame when bad things go happen. It makes them feel better to say, well, it's the fault of this or it's the fault of that, rather than looking at the more complex issues behind a certain subject. And, you know, they just want to blame something real quick. And sadly, those types of games and gaming, you know, in general, is being blamed for all kinds of terrible things when the fact of the matter is that violent or M-rated games only make up even 12% of the thousands and thousands of games that are made. You know, so.
But they also make up a big chunk of the sales. Greg, you mentioned that, you know, you mentioned bad video games. How would you define a bad video game? Greg is all fuzzy. I'm sorry, Greg. I think we lost your connection. But thanks for calling in. Oh, no, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Greg, how would you define a bad video game?
I think it's just the overall purpose of the video game itself. If you look at, you know, Grand Theft Auto, the overall purpose of the game is to just pure destruction, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's nothing positive there's nothing positive you can do in that game. There's nothing positive in that game. And then there's certain games. I mean, I think sports games, you know, I think all games in that, going back to what your guest speaker was saying about, playing things in excess. I know last week I was playing, you know, football, you know, a football game. I was playing the new Madden, and, the competitive nature, you know, kind of like takes over us when you lose, you know, you get emotional. So I think there's, you know,
no, that never happens. I've never experienced
that. Especially when you play online, you know. And you
oh, yes.
Jibber-jabbering. But no, I mean, it can, you know, sometimes you have to know your own boundaries, I guess, you know. So, I mean, there is a rating system, and that's just applied towards, you know, to kind of give people an idea of, like, how, you know, gruesome the video game, whether it be, like, a Resident Evil or a Grand Theft Auto or whatnot. But I think in everything, you know, it's just you have to know your capabilities. Because, I mean, when a sports game will get to me and I'll kind of be like, you know, hey, I got to stop playing this. Or I got to approach it in a different, you know, mindset. You know, you just kind of you got to be mindful of that. But what in my eyes, what a bad video game would be games that are just overall just all about violence, you know, Resident Evil,
Postal 2.
Stuff like that. I mean, there's, I know there's some real big games out there that are like Halo for the Xbox is really big. The overall message, I don't know how I feel about that. I know that I can play that game and have a good time and not be affected by it. But I just think, for some people to play that game or for some people to play, just use the rating system. I think that's just the overall best way to go about.
All right, Greg. Well, thank you very much for calling in and sharing with us tonight.
Absolutely.
All right. And if you have a question as well, 505-338-5790 to call in and chat about this topic of video games. Richard, why don't you talk a little bit about the rating system? We've mentioned that a few times already, and there's some people who might not be familiar with the rating system. And there's a lot of people who think the rating system is broke, that it doesn't work, especially after the recent hot coffee issue and then the Oblivion issue and so on and so forth. Talk a little bit about the rating system.
Well, there's basically, on the outside of every video game, there is a little box that has a rating system in it, and it's got six main categories, which is adults only, and people only 18 years or older can play those, mature, which is for 17 and older, teen, which is kids 13 and older, E10+, which is everyone 10 and older, E for everyone, and EC for early childhood. But then in addition to that, you've got all these other categorizations that tell you exactly what's in that particular game. For example, you might see it will list an alcohol reference, or it will list cartoon violence or fantasy violence, something you might see like Bugs Bunny hitting Yosemite Sam over the head with a mallet or something like
that. Always funny.
Yeah, always, always funny. And so they have all these little descriptions that all a parent needs to really do is look at that, and they will even be able to see if there's strong language or suggestive themes in a video game. So it's really quite precise. In fact, you get way more description of what's in a video game than what you'll get in a Hollywood film or movie. All you is R or PG-13 or PG. It doesn't tell you, specific references like you'll get crude humor or you'll get the F word one time in a PG-13 movie. A lot of people don't know that, by the way. This is a rating system that's really good, I think. It's not perfect. Very few things are. But by and large, I think it's a great tool for people.
Yeah, and why do you think so many people believe this rating system is broken? I mean, if it gives so much information, and like I said, with some of the recent incidents, there's even a new bill that's been introduced into the Senate that wants to have the Federal Trade Commission start participating in the whole game review process. Now, why are so many people convinced that the gaming system is broken if it has so much good information?
Because of politicians and because of people like Jack Thompson, who are very loud and very noisy and very ignorant about what they're talking about. And they are making it seem as if this rating system is broken when it really is not. All you hear, when you turn on the TV, I've always seen news stories about Doom and the Columbine killers and Grand Theft Auto and this killer and this game about this game. I never hear things about City of Heroes. I never hear news stories about We Love Katamari. These wonderful games. I never hear anything about EVE Online. And these are great games for the whole family, and you never hear about them. So I think it's part of this whole sensationalistic media thing, and journalists like great stories, and it certainly gets people watching the news and reading their little articles. But I would venture to say that very few of these people who are making these stories have ever even played a video game. So that's part of the problem.
Well, what some people say so far as journalism goes, if it bleeds, it leads. And so if these games are causing people to bleed, then that's the story that leads. We'll talk a little bit about the whole family angle on video games here in just a moment, Richard. We'll take a quick break. If you have questions about the video game issue, especially as a Christian, how we should participate in video games, should we participate in video games, is it okay for us to play video games, are video games really responsible for the evils of society? If you have an opinion or question, give us a call, 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. In fact, the next person who calls in with a question, I have a copy of Richard's book, What Every Parent Needs to Know About Video Games, and that's for the next person who calls in with a question here on Raw Talk on M88.
M88 has the perfect way to spend time with your family and help support the ministry of M88 all at the same time. It's the 2006 M88 Chase the Balloon Cycling Benefit. It's a great way to support the ministry of M88 and the Adoption Assistance Agency. It all happens during the Mass Ascension at the Balloon Fiesta. Whether you're a professional or recreational cyclist or just want to enjoy a beautiful fall morning, this is the event to check out. There's a few different rides, so choose the one you want. Grab the kids and enjoy the family 10K ride. Or you can go 25 or 50 miles. It starts at 7 a.m. Saturday, October 7th at the parking lot of Calvary of Albuquerque. And if you need more details, you can check out chasetheballoons.com. Join us for the third annual Chase the Balloon Cycling Benefit Saturday, October 7th. Sponsored by Quality Pontiac and Mimi's Cafe. Sign up today at chasetheballoons.com or m88.org. The 2006 Chase the Balloon Cycling Benefit, Saturday, October 7th from M88 Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Michael Tate with the story of another real-life Jesus freak. 500 years ago, the only legal Bible is in Latin. But William Tyndale has a vision to bring God's word to all the people. Working in secret, he translates and prints thousands of New Testaments. Soon, Christians all across England finally understand they can have a personal relationship with God. But thousands are executed just for owning one of these books. Tyndale also is hunted down, and his last words are a prayer. Lord, open the King of England's eyes. God honors that prayer, and within 3 years, the King orders William Tyndale's Bibles to be finished and placed in every church in England.
This time, it's revolution. Go to JesusFreaks.net.
Here's what you missed this morning on the Amigos.
And now, it's time for another edition of Ask Mr. Movie.
Mr. Movie, I have friends that sneak into another theater when their movie's done. Is this bad?
Sneaking into movies isn't just bad. It's super bona fide bad. It's not just bad because it's dishonest. It can actually harm you or make you crazy. Did you know that sneaking into movies actually releases chemicals in your brain that can cause your teeth to dissolve? Plus, studies performed by important doctors have shown teenagers that sneak into movies are 5,000 times more likely to develop gigantic alien-like brains. Trust me, Johnny, you may want to sneak into a movie, but you'll wish you didn't. Just listen to this boy.
I wish I didn't.
You see? Sneaking into movies is bad. And if you get caught, you can get thrown into prison. Forever.
I don't want to go to prison.
And it's not just any prison, Johnny. They make you sleep on cactus. And all you get to eat is fried ants.
I don't care what my friends do. I'm never sneaking into a movie.
Good for you, Johnny.
What is your name?
Otomo Siyama!
The Three Amigos on M88.
And welcome back to Raw Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo. Tonight we're talking about what every parent needs to know about video games. What everyone really needs to know about video games. We're talking with Richard Abanis. He wrote the book, What Every Parent Needs to Know About Video Games. And if you have a question, if you have an opinion on this topic, we'd love to hear from you. 505-338-5790. Again, what we're talking about tonight, none of this necessarily reflects the opinion of M88 as a station. And video games sometimes can get graphic in their content. I don't know if that will come up tonight, but just a warning that it might. So if you have any young listeners, you might want to occupy them with something else, just in case. I'm not saying that it will, but you never know. Just to give you a heads up on that. So we're talking about video games, and Richard, we're going to talk a little bit about the whole family aspect of video games, but first, we do have a caller on the line. We have Jim joining us, and Jim, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
I don't know if this is directly on the subject of violence as related to video games. I'm a video game player myself. But my attitude about violence in society generally and with our children is we raise them up with the idea that we have a democracy here, which is not quite the fact. We have a constitution we're supposed to adhere to and revere. But they talk about civil war occurring in Iraq. We've been fighting a civil war for 40 years in America here that they've labeled a war on drugs. Now, we have the precedent of alcohol being made illegal, and they found out that as bad as alcohol was, when they made it illegal, it became like a thousand times worse with all the violence on the street. And then they found out that marijuana, some people think that's dangerous. Might be. Drugs might be very bad. But as soon as they outlaw it, it becomes criminalized that much more and that much more violent on the street.
Yeah, okay, I need to step in here because this isn't really about video games at all. You called to make a political statement. So I just, think that if you're going to call a station, you need to talk about video games. If you want to talk about video games, what I will agree with is that there's often double standards when it comes to issues that are hot buttons for society, whether that's drugs or alcohol or the war in Iraq or video games or music or R-rated movies. So I can't agree with you there, and I think you're right on that. But I think we need to stick to talking about something like video games when that's what the subject is. I don't mean to cut you off, but I think that's important.
Yeah, and Jim, we do appreciate you calling in and sharing your opinion on that, and I think I kind of see where Jim's going. You know, if we try to outlaw video games, is that really going to solve the problem?
Right.
Probably not. It might even make it worse. And there's some who would say, the whole addictive nature to video games is, similar to other addictive things and whatnot.
Yeah, and this brings up something real interesting that a study that was done, and I think this is something that's kind of relevant to this caller and the whole issue of what causes kids, teenagers, adults even, to kind of go in a bad direction. According to the Surgeon General, David Satcher, the various forms of violent entertainment, that's movies, music, even sports, think about hockey games and the violence there, and video games, actually they fall into what's known as a small effect size category of influence on the individuals, and that there's as many as 27 other risk factors that rate higher, much higher than exposure to media, that determine if a person's going to become violent. And these are socioeconomic status, academic failures, poor parent-child relationships. And so all of these things together is what makes people violent, not just one thing.
Well, the interesting thing about the case that we opened with, the teenager from New Mexico who killed three people, supposedly due to Grand Theft Auto, another part of that case was they suffered abuse from their stepfather for years.
There you go.
And so, again, it's like, well, what about that angle, and why isn't Jack Thompson upset about that?
Exactly. And in Canada, a few weeks ago, something else very similar to this happened. An individual went in and started shooting up, I believe, a university or a college, and his gaming was brought up yet again. But what nobody did mention was that prior, in various blogs he had written on the internet, he talked about how his life was terrible, his relationships were terrible, his family was terrible, everything was terrible, and there wasn't much to live for. Now, you don't get feeling like that from just playing a video game.
Yes.
There were terrible things going on in this poor individual's life, and he just happened to play a video game.
Right. And that, like we said, that's the thing that's sensationalized and people will be drawn to, because, like you said, and I totally agree with you, people are looking for a scapegoat. I mean, that's just part of our fallen nature.
Yeah.
Because as all of us being sinners, we're looking for someone else to be responsible for our problems. Oh, it's this, it's that, the devil made me do it. And, the thing about becoming a Christian is you eventually have to come to the point where you say, you know what? I accept responsibility for my sin, and I accept the fact that God paid the price for my responsibility for my sin, and that is what sets us free, not finding a scapegoat. We have Kyle on the line. Kyle, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say about this issue of video games?
I'd like to actually completely agree with what was just said, that it's actually the upbringing of the people who, it's actually that affects their violent behavior, not the video games, and the video games are just getting the blame shifted to them, really.
Yeah.
As was already said. So, I don't know. You have to look at all the different aspects of the person rather than just one thing, as you already said.
Yeah. And, again, video games, and this has been brought up before. It's a fairly new form of media. It's not that new. It's been around for a while, but compared to like radio and TV, I guess it's kind of the newer type thing. And I think part of it, this is conspiracy talk, all right? This is totally conspiracy speculation. Video games are starting to eat into TV ratings. the returns at the box office and things of that nature. So who knows? Maybe the moguls of Hollywood are trying to bring down video games because it's taking away their money. That's totally like pure speculation on my part.
Well, I would say actually, I would have I actually would disagree with you there. I think what's happening is that the movie moguls in Hollywood is seeing how popular video games are, and they're actually, I talk about this in my book a little bit, they're actually trying to jump on that cash cow. They are blending movies and television, and even the music industry with video games, and there's a major crossover now that is, you know, bringing money in basically for everybody.
Well, yeah, and you have Peter Jackson now, who's executive producing the Halo movie, a movie based on the video game Halo, and he's producing a new, totally original Halo video game. It's not going to be Halo 3, but he's actually going to have his hand in making a whole different chapter so far as Halo goes. And so there are some directors who I think are seeing the value of video games. On the downside of the whole Hollywood video game thing, there's a lot of movie-based video games coming out that are really just blah.
Not good.
Yeah, you know.
That's not making gamers like us happy, is it?
No, it's like, would you just make a good game rather than, oh, this ties into a movie. Let's make a game in six months.
I don't know how you feel about it, but I went to go see Doom, and I was thoroughly disappointed. I thought it was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
I could have told you that without you having gone and see the movie. I could have warned you.
I had to give the Rock a chance.
All right. Hey, Kyle, thanks so much for calling in and sharing your opinion, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Richard, let's talk a little bit about, you know, we've talked a lot about the bad. Let's talk about the positive. I think people are going to be surprised that there are some good things that video games can do. And one of the things you bring up is the family aspect. And I know that's going to shock a lot of people. What? Families and video games go together like oil and water.
No, actually, they go together really well, and in fact, a lot of kids and young people really wish that their parents and even their grandparents would play with them these video games. They don't care if they're good or bad. It'll be fun for them. I went to a couple of gaming conventions here in California, and I interviewed some teenagers and people in their mid-20s and early 20s, and they said, you know, being able to play with my mom or dad would have been really great or would be really great. And I think it's a chance, it's an opportunity for parents to connect in this day and age, in this society where everybody, you know, nobody sits down at the dinner table together anymore, but they can sit down at a, you know, Xbox console or a PC and play a video game. There's lots of great games that they can get involved in, and it would be really fun. So I think it would be great.
One of my family's favorite things to do is when my parents come down and visit, or I go up there, sometimes they'll take my GameCube with me, is to play Mario Golf. Like, our whole family loves to sit down and just play Mario Golf together. In fact, my mom will stay up until like 2 in the morning trying to perfect her game so she can come out for a snack. And she's like, I'm going to get this. You're going down. It's like, Mom, it's 2 in the morning. Go to sleep.
And you know what? You just brought up another plus, and that is a sense of accomplishment that can come with playing video games after you clear a level or you find your way around a mysterious mountain or something like this. And, you know, there are kids who think about what they've been able to accomplish as a character in a video game, and they'll think about what maybe they can accomplish in real life and go into that. And then, again, even following on the heels of that is another plus, which is careers in gaming. Every parent wants their kid to have a great career for life, to be able to support himself or herself. And there's some awesome opportunities coming up in graphic design and story writing and computer graphics and things with video games that are paying very, very well.
Especially as games become more interactive and become like a choose-your-own-adventure movie that you can participate in. It's a movie that you are the star. If you have an opinion about this, about the positive side of video games, something that you'd like to share that you think is positive about video games, by all means, let us know. 505-338-5790. I have another copy of Richard's book, What Every Parent Needs to Know About Video Games, to give away to the next person who has a question or opinion to share here on Raw Talk. 505-338-5790. If you have something that you think is actually good about video games that you've experienced and would like to share, or a question about how can there be such a thing as good things from a video game, give us a call. 505-338-5790. You talked about the accomplishment aspect of video games, and Richard, let me just say, and I almost feel kind of goofy for admitting this, but there are times where I'll be playing a game, and I love my wife, and I'm so thankful that she does this, where I complete some project, I solve a puzzle, I get past a certain boss, I, you know, win a game in Madden or whatever, and, you know, I'll stroll into the kitchen and tell my wife, you know that little problem I was having in that video game? Yeah, I finally solved it. I beat that boss. And you know what? To her credit, as long as we've been married, she's never laughed at me, or she's always said, you know what, sweetie, good for you. I'm proud of you, which just makes me feel so good, you know, because I'm
does.
That's right. I did
it
something.
Does. I do the same thing. I've tried to get her to play, you know, I play EVE Online, which is a space game, and you're in a spaceship. You're just zipping through space and warping around and trying to shoot evil space pirates and all this. So I tried to get her to play, and she came over. She looked at the screen, and she sees my ship warping at an angle. She says, oh, I think I'm getting nauseous.
Well, you know, it's a good, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's a good feeling when you can solve a puzzle, when you can beat a boss, and it's a major sense of accomplishment. And then, you know, as cheesy as it might sound, it does feed that sense of accomplishment in real life. There's actually been some studies done that show that kids who play video games are actually better at things such as multitasking, as allocating resources, you know, all these types of things that to us as gamers is just a part of the game, but actually has real world counterparts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they found the things that you've talked about. They've also found that it increases the ability of children of reasoning, logical thinking, teamwork, which is very big in certain games, even like Halo, you know, Capture the Flag, a certain game that you can play in Halo.
Ghost Recon is another one where teamwork is huge as a squad.
And, you really have to coordinate how you're going to do this. And then, of course, with things such as TeamSpeak and massively multiplayer online games, you can have friends all over the world, like I do, in Iceland, Sweden, Germany, France, the UK. I have friends now all over the world that I speak to on a daily basis. And for kids, wow, that could really be a very important social aspect of life for them, where they can get to know people in different parts of the world. So, again, we're seeing many pluses to video gaming.
Well, you know, I've never been a huge online gamer, but I did recently have an experience. I was like, you know what, this is actually pretty cool. I have a friend who lives out in Florida, and a great pal of mine, and I missed him, you know, a lot when he moved out there. I was pretty bummed. But, you know, we recently had a chance to play some Madden online. You have the little headset. You get to talk to each other. So it was like man, we played for
a long time.
Yeah. I won't say how long, lest I sound totally obsessive.
I hear you, brother. I hear you.
But we played for a while, and I got to chat with him the entire time, you know, over the online headset. And just what a blessing that was, because it was like we're hanging out all over again, and yet we're on other sides of the country. And I thought that was really cool. It kind of put me in the mind of, you know, maybe I should look into this whole online gaming so me and my buddy can play games together more often.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've made many friends, and in fact, I'm going on a trip, a media tour for this book, and I'm going to be in Dallas, and two of the friends in the group that I play with happen to be from very near there, so they're going to actually drive up to Dallas when I'm there, and we're going to meet for dinner and meet each other, and it's just going to be great. I'm really
That's
excited.
Cool. All right, we have Trevor on the line. Trevor, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
Hey, I was just going to comment on the whole positive aspect. You know, you were talking about, like, bringing families, you know, having fun with that and stuff. And you were also talking about, you know, teamwork over, like, Halo and all that. And, you know, my dad and I actually play Call of Duty all the time.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
And that is, I mean, it's so much fun just to, you know, be with your own father and, you know, just play, get together, and, you know, even have friends come over and everyone sits down, we play, and, you know, it's a lot of fun just doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in some ways, I think video games are kind of replacing the classic board game so far as a thing that people can gather around and socialize as they play a game.
Yeah, definitely. And also, like, you were talking about the negatives and all that. I think if a father or a mother or whatever sits down and plays the game with their kid, even if it's not that great of a game, and can tell them, you know, this is wrong, don't do this in, like, real life, don't go around shooting people, you know, that can mean a lot to a kid going, like, oh, well, okay.
That's bad. Thanks, Mom. Yeah, absolutely right, Trevor. If you really want to know what video games are about, the best way to find out is to play them. Trevor, thank you so much for calling. We have a copy of this book for you, and we'll have it at the station if you want to come down and pick it up, all right?
Sweet.
All right, thanks for calling in, Trevor. You have a great night. And also on the line with us is Joshua. Joshua, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
My mom asked me to ask you, what's the best video game out there?
ever of all time or just currently?
Pong.
Yeah.
Pac-Man is a close second.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You can go for this one because that question is just a little too broad for me.
Yeah, that is a pretty broad question. And Joshua, let me just say, it's also very subjective. Is there anything specific your mom was like the best video game for families to play, the best video game for kids to play? Was anything a little more specific?
Well, the best one for, kids to play.
How old are you, Josh?
How old are you, Joshua? 10? All right, Richard, do you want to take that?
Let's see, 10. I'll tell you what, since you're the host, why don't you go first with that one?
Well, there's a new video game. How did you know I'd have a ready answer for that, Richard? There's actually a game out right now, especially if you're into Legos and if you're into Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
There's a game called Lego Star Wars 2. It's based on the original trilogy. You run around as a little Lego guy, and you get to relive some of the key moments of the Lego of the Star Wars saga as a Lego character. And I'll admit that currently is one of my favorite video games to play at this time.
I got another one.
Okay, go for it, Richard.
Josh, I think you might like The Incredibles.
Oh, yeah.
Rise of Underminer. It's got a lot of action, great special effects, and it's just really kind of cool, I think.
Yeah, and there's also some other superhero games that will be coming out this fall. If you're into superheroes, Justice League and Ultimate Marvel Alliance will be coming out if you're into superheroes. I haven't played those yet, so I can't say how good they are for a 10-year-old. But
yeah,
those are some
maybe,
other ones coming out.
Maybe also when you get just a little bit older, maybe, you know, next year or the year after, City of Heroes is kind of fun.
City of Heroes is...
You can be a superhero and make your character look any way you want him to look.
Super, yeah, it's pretty epic. And, of course, the classic platformers, Josh, Mario, Pac-Man, Banjo-Kazooie, some of those games
Donkey Kong. Monkey Island, you can't go wrong with those.
Escape from Monkey Island. Man, now you're taking me back. Does that help out at all, Josh? Yeah? All right. Joshua, thank you so much for calling in, and I hope that helps your mom out as well. So tell her we said hi, all right? Okay. Next up, we have Ray here on Raw Talk. Ray, what do you have to say?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir.
Well, I'm feeling pretty good.
Good.
I was out riding my motorcycle on the weekends, and I was listening to this station.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of it I disagree, and a lot of it I agree with.
Well, that's okay.
But I don't believe our young people are in the criminal act over TVs or video games. I think it's the parents just don't take enough time to be with them to learn them the reality of life, what you're supposed to do when they were growing up.
Yeah.
I'm 62 years old, and I played with toy guns and everything else, and I'm not no criminal.
Well, and we're very happy to hear that, sir.
and you know what? That's a great point, by the way, that your caller is making. You know, there are games that we played as kids. I mean, I'm 45.
Yeah.
So when I grew up, I didn't have these video games either. And we played the Cops and Robbers and the Cowboys and Indians and all these things and G.I. Joes and shoot 'em up things. And this is just part of, you know, growing up, especially as a little boy.
Right.
And my mom and dad, I mean, of course, I didn't grow up to do terrible things, and we knew it was play. Now, today, we have some video games that are very much like those same games we played, except in a video form. So that's one thing that I think is a great point you make.
Yeah, thank you.
I played with a lot of video games. See, I'm a truck driver over the road for 40-some-odd years, and I quit 9 months ago. And I played, you know, when I got some time to waste, I'd get in there and play the video games with the young drivers.
Nice.
And,
cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing wrong with them.
Right.
But a lot of it is the upbringing of kids the way their parents do, because I know a lot of parents don't take time with their kids.
You're absolutely right.
I had my first great-grandson.
Congratulations.
7 years ago. Well, 13 years ago now. And a lot of people ask me, Rafe, where do you find time to play with that kid? I said, I'll take time. I want my kid to be upright. I mean, you know, my grandma raised me, and she done a wonderful job with me. No Rafe. Doubt about it. She done a wonderful job. She was a Christian woman, and I'm a Christian man. But I don't agree with a lot of things that's going on. Our government has misled people. Our young people in today's world have been misled.
Well, Ray, we got to take a quick break, man. I really appreciate you calling in and sharing your opinion. We got to take a quick break and move on. Thank you so much for calling in, Ray. Richard, when we get back, let's talk a little bit about the spiritual aspects of video games and how that can be a part of our Christian walk. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be right back with more Raw Talk here on M88.
Hey, what's up? This is Michael Tate with a call to action for web surfing Jesus freaks. Let's take the internet back from the spammers, the con men, and pornography pushers. Start by screening where you go online. Get a good filter and purpose in your heart to flee from all the junk out there. Then click on sites that inspire and challenge you to a bold faith in action. See what's up with the Voice of the Martyrs at persecution.net. Open Doors International at gospelcom.net. Missionary.net is also a great site. This radio station even has a website with links to check out. Or just check in with us, the guys from DC Talk, at JesusFreaks.net. Log on. Share Jesus.
What is a Jesus Freak? Go to JesusFreaks.net.
Here's what you missed this morning on the Amigos.
And now, it's time for another edition of Ask Mr. Movie.
Mr. Movie, I have friends that sneak into another theater when their movie's done. Is this bad?
Sneaking into movies isn't just bad. It's super bona fide bad. It's not just bad because it's dishonest. It can actually harm you or make you crazy. Did you know that sneaking into movies actually releases chemicals in your brain that can cause your teeth to dissolve? Plus, studies performed by important doctors have shown teenagers that sneak into movies are 5,000 times more likely to develop gigantic alien-like brains. Trust me, Johnny, you may want to sneak into a movie, but you'll wish you didn't. Just listen to this boy.
I wish I didn't.
You see? Sneaking into movies is bad. And if you get caught, you can get thrown into prison. Forever.
I don't want to go to prison.
And it's not just any prison, Johnny. They make you sleep on cactus, and all you get to eat is fried ants.
I don't care what my friends do. I'm never sneaking into a movie.
Good for you, Johnny.
What is your name?
The Three Amigos on M88.
M88 has the perfect way to spend time with your family and help support the ministry of M88 all at the same time. It's the 2006 M88 Chase the Balloon Cycling Benefit. It's a great way to support the ministry of M88 and the Adoption Assistance Agency. It all happens during the Mass Ascension at the Balloon Fiesta. Whether you're a professional or recreational cyclist or just want to enjoy a beautiful fall morning, this is the event to check out. There's a few different rides, so choose the one you want. Grab the kids and enjoy the family 10K ride. Or you can go 25 or 50 miles. It starts at 7 a.m. Saturday, October 7th at the parking lot of Calvary of Albuquerque. And if you need more details, you can check out chasetheballoons.com. Join us for the third annual Chase the Balloon Cycling Benefit Saturday, October 7th. Sponsored by Quality Pontiac and Mimi's Cafe. Sign up today at chasetheballoons.com or m88.org. The 2006 Chase the Balloon Cycling Benefit, Saturday, October 7th from M88 Radio.
And welcome back to Raw Talk here on M88. Talking about video games tonight with author Richard DeBonis. He wrote the book, What Every Parent Needs to Know About Video Games. And we're going to talk a little bit about the spiritual aspects of video games here in just a moment. Chris has been hanging on the line forever. Chris, you're a trooper. Welcome to Raw Talk. We're going to wrap things up here in just a bit. So really quick, what is it you have to say?
Yeah, well, I had just an idea, and then I had...
my idea is not exactly one that I particularly like, but there's also another one that I know of that's a pretty good one you guys might actually like.
Okay, let's hear it.
On the video game part, the kids that have a real hard time, like, moving their hands and stuff, they'll actually use that as therapy for them.
Right. Not only that, but they even use video games to teach doctors how to do surgery. They've shown an increase in successful surgeries from doctors who actually play a little bit of video games before they go in and do that. Chris,
right, and in hospitals, they're also using video games to calm children before they're going into surgery.
Yeah, that's right.
Or when they're having painful procedures done, they give them a little video game, like a Game Boy, and it distracts them, and they get so wrapped up in that that it really calms them down, and they are much easier to handle, and it's much easier for them to take what's happening to them.
You know, what I thought was fascinating about that is they found that a little Game Boy, a video game, even has a better soothing effect than even mom.
Yeah.
Which made me feel kind of bad for moms. But, you know, they made the point, when a parent looks worried, then the kid must think, yo, this is really, really bad if the parent is, like, trying to calm me down so much. So they found video games actually affect that a little bit better. Chris, thanks for calling in. We do have a copy of the book, What Every Parent Needs to Know About Video Games, for you. So if you'll just hang on, we'll have someone get your name and phone number, and you can come on down and pick that up. As we wrap things up tonight, Richard, I wanted to chat a little bit, and you touch on this in your book, about the spiritual aspect of video games, and I'm working on another project that also relates to that. But why don't you talk a little bit about how video games might even benefit us as Christians in a spiritual point aspect?
Well, you know, in video games, there's usually always a good side and a bad side, right and wrong, and characters that you can assume that you can play in the game and make choices. And there are many of these are often, you know, ethical and moral choices. For example, in the game Black and White 2, where you sort of control a city and the occupants of that city and this character, this pet that you have, it's a large tiger or a large gorilla or something like this. And depending on what you do and how you treat that creature will either become more kind and loving and gentle, or if you treat him bad, he'll become vicious and terrible. And you kind of can see the ramifications of things that are done when they're done bad, as opposed to when they're done right and good and true, how things happen. And this is a great teaching tool. And in some games, for example, if you allow evil to progress, the city that you're controlling starts turning dark and terrible and scary, and crime becomes more obvious. So again, there are choices you can make in these video games and teaching your children how to make the right choices by showing them what can happen if they make the wrong choices and using the video game to do that.
Well, another game that's like that is Fable, where depending on how good or how evil you are affects even your physical appearance, which I always thought was kind of interesting because, you know, it's something you can point out. You know what? A lot of times good and evil doesn't really affect our physical appearance, but it certainly affects our soul. But sooner or later, what's on the inside is going to leak out. You know, it's something that we've been trying to teach our daughter. You know, what good or bad you put in will eventually show somehow. And a game like Fable, where the very appearance of a character is changed by the moral choices they make, can be a springboard for a spiritual, biblical teaching moment.
Right. I mean, you can talk about how, you know, see, this is what you look like on the inside, maybe, when
right.
you do these terrible things. This is how God sees you, who is totally perfect and beautiful, and the way he looks at us when he sees sin and more sin, this is how it transforms and darkens our soul. I mean, these are great. This is worthy of a Bible study.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And on that topic, HollywoodJesus.com is a place where they do movie reviews. They basically look at pop culture from a Christian perspective, and something they're going to be working on and launching this week is a whole video game section. And the founder of this website, David Bruce, is always talking about how stories, every story, you know, referring to movies, you can relate back to some sort of biblical point. I mean, movies in a lot of senses are modern parables from which you can find biblical truths. And as video games begin to become more adept at telling stories where you're the star of the story, making a lot of the key choices in the story, again, I think it can be very much a parable that can point back to biblical truths, and that's what HollywoodJesus.com is going to tackle when they launch their video game website.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I'm glad that there's a site like that that puts up materials like that, and I'm looking forward to looking at it.
Yeah, they should have it launched by the end of the week with some content on some of the current video games, Madden 07, Lego Star Wars, and things of that nature. And a lot of it's going to be based on finding these biblical parables in the storytelling of video games. There's even some stuff I found in Madden 2007 that I wrote devotionals about for our website, because it just struck me so heavy how there was some just stuff that applied directly to my Christian life by playing a video game about football, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It was absolutely
exactly.
Incredible.
And sportsmanship, you can bring that in. I mean, you can bring all kinds of different virtues in when you're playing video games. I mean, as I've said before, I play EVE Online, which is an online game, and you know, you can be a pirate in this game. You have to make choices of whether, you know, when you have the opportunity, are you going to steal someone's ore that they've been mining for 4 hours to get? you know, are you going to, even in the battles you fight honorably, or are you going to be, you know, deceptive? I mean, yeah, there's all kinds of things. Video games can be wonderful.
Well, Richard Abanas, the author of What Every Parent Needs to Know About Video Games, a very balanced take on this whole video game issue. So if you're in the dark about what the big deal is about video games, that may be something that could help you. Richard, as we wrap things up tonight, what one thought, one piece of advice would you want to leave with people who struggle with this issue about video games, violence, Christianity, and anything along those issues? What would you like to relate as we wrap things up tonight?
I would say, look, don't believe everything you just see on CNN or read in the LA Times or hear on the radio. I mean, a lot of this stuff you're hearing about video games is simply false. It's being used to scare people and for the political agendas of people. Get with your kid. They want to spend time with you. Go to the store and help them find a great game that you can all sit down with and enjoy. Parents, grandparents, youth pastors, I mean, people who take care of kids. And it can be a great jumping off point, not only to spend some quality social and relational time, but also some spiritual time to help the younger generation enjoy what's important to them and enjoy what's important to you.
I've even seen some youth groups use video games to draw in you know, kids from the outside and say, hey, we're playing this video game tournament, come and join us and hang out. And, you know, there's an opportunity right there, not only to play video games with non-believers, but to minister to non-believers sitting around a video game.
Absolutely. I think it's time for Christians to, you know, stop being known for always saying no, 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 no to things, and for people to see that we do say yes, 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 yes to some things that can be used as salt and light in this dark world.
Well, I know you're a big advocate of Christians being known for what they're for and not always known for what they're against, and I've always appreciated that about you.
Well, thanks.
Richard Abanas, the author of What Every Parent Needs to Know About Video Games, thank you so much for hanging out with us, sir. I mean, it's been a big blessing to me. I've enjoyed, you know, the acquaintance that we've developed doing these interviews and talking about our similar passion for video games. So thank you for joining us tonight.
Great time. Anytime.
All right. And I would just like to close by saying, you know, this whole video game issue really a lot of times boils down to a Romans 14 issue. If you don't know what I'm talking about, open your Bible, read Romans 14. But what it boils down to is, this is something that's going to be between you and God. Is it okay for you to play video games? Is it okay for you to play certain types of video games? Well, that's going to have to be something that you'll have to take up with God. You know, there's a whole other issue that we didn't get into with Philippians 4:8, you know, think on these things that are good and holy and pure and lovely and admirable, or Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above. And how do video games affect that? How do any forms of media affect that? These are all issues that we didn't have a chance to get into, but are worth considering. But again, it really boils down to between you and God. So I'd encourage you, if you don't know what you think about this, take some time, pray about it, read your Bible, determine for yourself. And then if you're someone who's okay with playing these types of video games, don't be a stumbling block for someone else. You know, encourage the younger believers. And if that means that you have to set aside Halo, if that means you have to set aside Grand Theft Auto, I do know some Christians who play Grand Theft Auto, but if that causes another Christian to stumble, well, maybe you should not play that around them or talk about playing that around them. But this is something that we as Christians have to be sensitive to, and like Richard has pointed out, it's also a type of media that we can use to sow seeds. Just as Jesus used parables to sow seeds, video games can be a type of modern parable where we can do exactly the same thing. So just a few closing thoughts for you to consider as we talk, wrap things up this evening on Raw Talk about video games. Now, looking ahead, if there's a topic that you'd like to discuss here on Raw Talk, please let us know. Studio at m88.org. Drop us an email. Let us know what kind of stuff you would like to discuss on Raw Talk, and we'll try and get some guests in and get your calls on whatever topic it is that you want to discuss. So that's studio at m88.org for your topic ideas for Raw Talk. And next week here on Raw Talk, we're going to talk about ghosts and all that haunted house stuff. It's October, and I figured this would be a good time to discuss such a topic. We're going to have Ron Rhodes join us, and he's going to tell us the truth behind ghosts, mediums, and psychic phenomena. We'll be taking your calls for that. That'll be happening next Sunday here on Raw Talk. And until then, have a shway week in the Lord. Thanks for joining me.